We're talking about the title of this message tonight is Under the Influence. When you see a person stumbling as they walk and their speech is slurred, possibly louder than normal, not making sense of their words, we assume that they're under the influence of alcohol. That's the fruit that alcohol produces, or part of it. It gets worse. But what kind of fruit do you expect to see in a person who claims to be a Christian, who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Paul did say not to be drunk with wine, but with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His Holy Spirit. But here in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, we're going to see the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's pray and then we'll continue. Dear Father, I thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would please help me tonight to relay your message to your people accurately. Lord, help us to learn what you have for us. Lord, help us to make change where we should so that we can open the door for your Holy Spirit to work in our life and through us. I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul describes here the fruit of the Spirit of God. And what I'd like to do is kind of break these down a little bit, because this is what we're supposed to be if someone is going to see Christ in us. They don't see Christ in us when we're being selfish. They don't see Christ in us when we're being prideful, when we're not getting our way, we're pitching a fit about it. They're not seeing Christ there. They're just seeing just another human being acting like humans act. When we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, We're going to show these fruits that we just read right here. The first one is love. Love is kind and forgiving, not arrogant or humble or unhumble. Love is, and that's why I say it's humble, because pride and humility are the opposites. Love isn't rude. Love doesn't brag on itself. Someone who has love for others puts their desires, the other person's desires, before their own. They're not easily rattled, yet they are easily entreated or approachable. You ever had someone in your life that was not very approachable? I have. You just didn't want to go to them with any problem unless someone died. And that was about it. Because they were going to make you feel like you shouldn't have come to them. And I've known people like that before, but hopefully that's not how you or I act. Hopefully everyone that knows us knows that we are approachable about anything. That they can come to us, talk to us about anything. The second one is joy. A person with real joy, they own it. They don't just wear it. They don't put it on and take it off. It's not work to be joyful. It comes natural for someone under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Joy is the result of being thankful for His mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I'm afraid many times that we lose our joy because we lose sight of those things. We forget about the fact that God is merciful, He's gracious, He's forgiving. We forget about that, and we forget about it because we get focused on ourselves. We get focused on saying things such as, why me? Well, this is what I want. How come you're not giving me what I want? Joy comes because of high expectations for the future coming of Jesus. He is coming. Could be tonight. It could be years from now. But Jesus said to keep looking. Because that gives us hope. That gives us joy. The third one is peace. Peace is driven by faith in God that He knows what He's doing. It's the overwhelming feeling that things are going to be okay because God loves His children and does what is best for them. There are times when we are hurting. And I can promise you that Brother Tommy and Miss Brenda and all of his family are asking God, even now, what are you doing? How come you can't give us a little bit of relief? God, where are you? But you know what? Jesus did the same thing. He said to God three different times, can we do something different? And even on the cross, at the very end, He cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt the same thing that you and I feel when we're hurting. We're suffering physically and or emotionally. He felt the same thing. He was there. Jesus had never one time felt distant from the Father until the cross. And because of the sin that draped over Him, God had to turn His head. There was, for a period of time, distance between Him and Jesus. I think that was the most difficult part of what Jesus had to go through. Not the physical pain, although that was severe, very severe. But the distance between Him and God. So He's felt that. But it was necessary. We too will suffer. But God can give us peace. And He does. The fourth one is long-suffering. That's putting up with other people's idiocies because we too have idiocies. We don't see ours. We think we're normal. You ever thought about that? When you use the word normal, you're using it because you're looking at or talking about someone who isn't, in your opinion. But the truth may be they're normal and we're not. I don't know that there's such a thing as normal because we are different. We all have differences. But you know what? We can choose to just put up with some of that. We have to. That's what long suffering is all about. Just saying, you know what? That's just who they are, and that's okay. we love them anyway. Right?
Right.
Long-suffering is allowing personal injury without retaliation. I used to get frustrated with those drivers that would pull out in front of me and slow down until I realized I was that guy. Sometimes. Not on purpose. And the truth may be they didn't either.
Right.
We don't know what's going on in the cab of that vehicle. Just like they don't know what's going on in our cab. So to be long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. The fifth one is gentleness. Being gentle with people requires tact. It requires politeness. It requires love. It requires long-suffering to be gentle with people. Because most of the time, when we're called on by the Holy Spirit to be gentle, it's being gentle with someone who is not. Someone who is hurting. Someone who is acting out. Someone who is just being rude for some reason or another. Very likely because they're hurting. That's difficult. It's difficult to be gentle with those kinds of people. A gentle person isn't rough with people, but understanding, honorable, and respectful. I think of the Good Samaritan here. Remember, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other.
That's right.
They hated each other, really. But when that Samaritan found that Jew on the ground in the ditch, dying from the wounds that he had received, he was gentle with him. He wasn't rough. He was honorable and respectful. I really think that the thought probably went through his head, wow. If that was me, how would I want to be treated? And then that's what he did. The next one is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit produces moral excellence, virtue, righteousness. A person of high quality. They're respected by all who know them. That's what goodness is. I know a few people like that. There are a few people that when they think my name or hear my name, they don't think that because of some bad choices that I've made in my life. But I know a few people that when their name comes up, I honestly really can't come up with anything bad to say about them. Because this fruit is all over them. Moral excellence. The next one is faith. This is faithfulness or dependability. One who's trusted to do what they say they'll do. You can rely on them. Faithfulness. Number eight is meekness. Meekness many times is mistaken for weakness. Because they don't show their strength in a moment of anger or frustration. Instead, they hold it back. And for that reason, a definition for meekness is strength in quietness. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man of all. He had power. He had a great following. Like a few million. All he had to do was speak the word and you could be snuffed out. Everyone that knew him knew that he had literally a one-on-one relationship with Jesus, the creator of the universe. Moses yet was very meek. He was quiet. He didn't throw around his title. He didn't throw around his position. Instead, he interceded for those who sinned against him and God. Mm-hmm. Moses was definitely meek, quiet, but solid. And then number 9, temperance. Temperance is self-control. The ability to control the desires and appetites and feelings that we have. Self-restraint. This is interesting because this is a fruit of the Spirit. Unsaved people can exercise self-control, right? You ever thought about that? Many times they do. In fact, you may know some people who are not saved who seem to have a high level of self-control in one area or another. But the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural ability to say no to things that any other way we wouldn't be able to say no to. And we need that. I need that desperately. God protects me from things that, if it wasn't for Him, I would be in a rough predicament. Just because of the decisions that I make. Amen. Or would make. But because of this fruit of the Spirit, of temperance, self-control, the Holy Spirit helps me. And you too. These fruits of the Spirit are only produced by the Holy Spirit when you and I say no to the flesh. As long as we are saying yes to the flesh, the Holy Spirit cannot produce these fruits in us. When I want to be recognized or I want to brag, or I want to get my way over something, then the Holy Spirit, what I'm doing is I'm feeding the flesh. I'm keeping my cup full of the flesh. And so the Holy Spirit has no room to pour in the fruits of the Spirit. There's no space there. But when I die to the flesh and I say no, and I pour that out, then the Holy Spirit has room to put gentleness, goodness, temperance, love, all His fruit. And by the way, this is an ongoing thing. Because yesterday I may have had an empty cup for the Holy Spirit to work with. And then today I may not have. 2 hours ago I may have had an empty cup for the Holy Spirit to work with. But at this moment, I have it full of flesh. So it's an ongoing decision that you and I have to make to die to the flesh. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It's not a one-time decision. It's not even an every morning decision. It's an all throughout the day decision to die to the flesh so that these fruits can shine forth. So that when people look at us, they'll recognize that we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. instead of under the influence of our flesh. Our flesh is going to take us down a road we don't want to go down. Don't need to be down. The Holy Spirit can cause us to do a U-turn and come back and head down the road we ought to be on. Depend on Him. Allow Him space. Every time you feel the urge to yield to the flesh, just say no. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who indwells us. Lord, we need You. We want You. Lord, I pray that You would help us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Help us to empty ourselves of our flesh so that You can work. Lord, I thank You for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be dismissed.